You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 473 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is late into the night here on Thursday. If you were paying attention on Thursday night, you probably want to forget this one, honestly, as the Atlanta Hawks fell by a final score of 138-93. One more time, that's 138-93 against the Denver Nuggets on the road at the Pepsi Center in Denver. Obviously, the result kind of is what it is. There isn't too much nuance for this particular podcast. I will do what I always do and go through what transpired, but probably will be a little bit shorter than normal on this fine Thursday evening into Friday morning, but because that kind of speaks for itself in a lot of ways. But we will cover the game as we always do, and I appreciate all the diehards for checking on this one, because once you see the score, I'm sure people don't want to really talk about or listen to or read about this particular game very much, but here we are to talk about it, and they're worth some things to, of course, hit on, as there always are. So, the final result was larger than I would have expected. Obviously, 45 points is not something you're going to ever predict in the NBA, even with the pretty obvious disadvantages that the Hawks had in this game. Coming into the game, there was actually some optimism, at least some level of optimism when it comes to John Collins. Collins was actually upgraded to doubtful for this game. I never thought he was going to play, but the mere fact that the Hawks decided to upgrade him to doubtful is pretty encouraging for him in the future. I don't know if he's going to play on Saturday against Indiana in the team's next game, but the fact that he was upgraded at all is usually a pretty good sign. Also, unexpectedly, a pretty late addition to the injury report was Torian Prince, who missed this game with right Achilles pain, according to the team. I'm not sure what the deal is there, honestly. I'm not in Denver. So one of those things that's tough to check on, and he was, again, not on the injury report overnight or in the morning on Thursday. So he was a late addition. I'm not really sure what happened there, but we'll hopefully get some clarity on that moving forward. Also, Dwayne Devin missed this game, his third straight game. Actually, he announced on Instagram this week that, I guess on Thursday, that he and his girlfriend Kayla had their child. So congratulations to Dwayne Devin and Kayla on the birth of their child. But I'm not sure when he'll play again. I would assume it's pretty soon, maybe Saturday, maybe back Monday in Atlanta. We'll stay tuned on that one. But to put things... I guess, candidly, the Hawks are playing without three of their top six or seven players in this game. That kind of makes it tough in a lot of ways. Still, 45 is 45, and it's pretty unacceptable in a lot of ways. Obviously, this is a game that the Hawks just basically no-showed from the outset. It was actually 13-0 Denver to open this game. The Hawks missed their first eight shots. Denver made their first four shots. The Hawks went with an entire not an entire lineup change, but an early substitution pattern where Lloyd Pierce went to Jeremy Lin, Miles Plumlee, and Vince Carter with about 3.5 minutes, only 3.5 minutes going by in the game, and actually went to a two-point guard look right off the top with Lin and Young. That was sort of a desperation play that actually ended up working to a certain extent. The Hawks did get their first bucket at about 7:29 in the first quarter. But by the time you sort of looked up, it was 25-8 after another 7-0 run from the Nuggets. You know, some credit to the Hawks for sort of bouncing back a little bit. The Hawks got it down to 32-21 late in the first, and actually only trailed by 12 at the end of the first quarter. After being down 25-8, that's pretty good, honestly. But, offensively, not too much going on. Defensively, it was kind of a disaster the entire night, which we'll talk about here at the end. But first quarter, not great. And then into the second, which – I guess technically was the best quarter of the night, despite the fact that the Hawks allowed 38 points. So defensively, it was pretty ugly. It was definitely the best offensive quarter of the night. There was a nice lob from Bembry to Alex Len to open that second quarter. The Hawks got within 10 early in the period. Kent Bazemore had 7 straight points for the Hawks at one point. He was one of the few bright spots offensively. But then there was a 10-2 run by the Nuggets to kind of push back out to 18. Not too much going on from there. I will say, in the first half, the Hawks did have decent offensive numbers. They shot 44% from the floor, but had a 109 offensive rating because of some free throw stuff, etc. So a pretty, 109 offensive rating is pretty solid. You're going to win some games doing that. I will say, though, defensively, it was obviously not good all that long, but especially in the first half. The Nuggets shot 62% from the floor in the first half. They had 8 of 14 from 3 in the first half, and a 139 offensive rating for Denver. you're not going to win any games doing that and allowing that. And that was kind of the story of the evening. There was 13 points in the first half from Kent Bazemore. He was the only player in double figures for Atlanta. At the break, five guys from the Nuggets had double figures, and that kind of paints a picture as well of just kind of how balanced and how three-pronged and four-pronged and five-pronged their attack was offensively. It wasn't really anything the Hawks could do, at least that they were able to do in this game defensively. In the third quarter, a very, very early substitution that I noticed. Kevin Huerter replaced DeAndre Bembry actually at the 10:08 mark of the third quarter. And that's very, very early, just kind of trying to find combinations that would work. There was another run, though, sort of the game-ending run took place between the early portion of the third quarter and the middle portion of the third quarter. Seven straight points from the Nuggets to go up by 23. Actually, that prompted a timeout and an entire lineup change from Pierce. He got clearly frustrated with the entire starting five. And then from there, the run continued, went all the way to 20-3, and by the time that was over, the Hawks were down by 33, and that was basically the entire game. The lead got to 36 in the third quarter, and obviously late in this game, it was threatening 50 at some point. There was actually a three by Jeremy Lin that kind of erased any thought of a 50-point deficit. But honestly, it could have been 50, but with the way that things flatline in the second half of this game, not too much in the way of news from that second half, other than the fact that Daniel Hamilton appeared for the first time this season. So shouts to Daniel Hamilton for getting some playing time. Also, Trae Young sort of limped off with about 9:40 to go. He did come back in, but he definitely looked to be favoring his ankle or leg of some sort. No worries, I don't think, because the Hawks wouldn't have kept him in the game. They were already down by 35, 40 points when he came back in the game, so I don't think there's anything to worry about there, but something I at least noted that he left the game. And also in the first half, he had to get retaped, so it could be something that he's favoring a little bit. Over the final 8 minutes of this game, it was the Daniel Hamilton show. There were some bright spots from guys off the bench in garbage time, but for the most part, that was kind of it. After the game, Lloyd Pierce, I saw the broadcast on Fox Sports Southeast. Lloyd Pierce was talking about how he did not blame the altitude for this one. Obviously, I do think the stars kind of line a little bit easier in Denver for a blowout loss, considering all the factors there with the altitude and the road trip kind of being a long one. But he came out right at the outset and did not blame that whatsoever. Actually, he sort of repeatedly referenced a lack of effort. He was definitely not very happy. You know, losing by 45 in the NBA can only really happen if you just completely no-show. There are games you can lose by 30 in the league, I will say, even if you don't necessarily just no-show. If you just can't make a shot and other team's unconscious. But 45 is another issue altogether. And that's... You could definitely see why Pierce would be upset by that performance. Obviously, he mentioned that it was, quote, unacceptable a few different times. That's kind of the only tack to take after a game like that when you lose by 45 points. So, all told, that was kind of the end of that. Offensively, for the Nuggets, they were very good in this game. They had a 130 offensive rating. That's going to beat you any other night of the season, honestly. Denver made 56% of their field goal attempts, 42% from three. They had 34 assists on 53 more made field goals. They had, let's see, seven guys in double figures for Denver. I thought Nikola Jokic was outstanding in this game. He was plus 37. Juancho Hernangómez was a plus 46 in 31 minutes. Pretty crazy. He had 25 points to lead all scorers. And a lot of positive things there. I will say Paul Millsap, good old friend of the program, had a very nice game here. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. A vintage Paul Millsap performance. He was great defensively, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, kind of an onslaught from Denver in this game. Defensively, the Hawks were very bad from the outset. Obviously, the 13-0 run to open the game was kind of the lights out, in retrospect. The Hawks, again, I should at least credit them. They battled a little bit in the first half after that 13-0 start. But the second half was ghastly, and there's no way around that. Offensively, the Hawks cratered in this game with 87.6 offensive rating. That is absolutely terrible. A 35% field goal percentage clip, a 21% from three. The team was 9 of 42. Pierce was actually asked after the game on the broadcast about the 42 attempts. He definitely did not shy away from that. He wants that kind of attempts. That was not the problem. They got a lot of open shots in this game, just didn't make them. It wasn't all about shot making. You know, if they made a more reasonable proportion of their shots, they would have lost by 35 instead of 45. But at the same time, the shot selection was not really the problem for the most part of this game. There just wasn't much going on in creation, aside from Trae Young, who we'll talk about. And defensively, just couldn't get stops. And that will put you in a hole altogether. So, you know, the numbers paint an ugly picture, and it was an ugly picture, obviously, in this game, losing by 45 points. I will say, before we come back and talk about the individual stuff in this game, I will take a moment to tell you guys to subscribe to this podcast, as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network. I'd really appreciate everyone that's already done that. Thank you for doing that, and please go to whatever podcast platform that you'd like to listen to podcasts on, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, wherever you like to listen to audio. Also, I'm a big fan of Overcast. There's a couple of different podcast platforms that I have used and will use, and hopefully you will find us wherever you like to be. If we're not already there, please let me know that, and I will get you there. So please subscribe to the podcast. Thank you very much for that. And after this short break, we'll come back and talk about the individual play in this game. All right, we're back to talk about the individual play. Obviously, not too much going on in the way of positives. Honestly, we'll start with the starting five in this game. Only two players reached double figures. Kent Bazemore was, I think, the best player for the Hawks in the starting lineup in this game. 14 points for Baze in 21 minutes. He was just okay. It wasn't like he did anything fantastic, but he had probably the best individual stretch of the game in the first half. When he had those seven straight points, he was still minus 25 in 21 minutes. He wasn't like he played incredible, but Baze was just kind of fine and did what he normally does for the most part. Defensively, had some issues, but was okay. Alex Len, same thing. A couple of nice bright spots, but wasn't great all told. Didn't play a lot, actually, which is kind of surprising to me. Only 13 minutes in this game. Part of that was that it's not a great matchup for him against Jokic, but 6 points and 5 rebounds and 2 blocks for Len. He had a nice block against Monte Morris in the first half, so if you're looking for a bright spot, that might be it. DeAndre Bembry, rough night from the field. He was 1 of 8 from the floor. 2 points, two rebounds, and an assist, and a blocked shot. He was not great. Obviously, the finishing was rough. He had two, at least that's off the top of my head, at least two finishes that he probably should have made that he missed. That's kind of been the story of Bembry this year. When he's making that, he looks great. When he's not, it's really frustrating. He did a lot of things well, and like he always does here, but defensively wasn't his best performance, wasn't anybody's best performance, to be candid, but not a ton of production from Bembry in this game. Amari Spellman did have a double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds to go along with 3 assists and 3 steals, but I thought he was actually pretty bad in this game. The numbers were there. He played a lot and was kind of the only big on the floor for a lot of that garbage time stuff in the second half. The rebounding is encouraging in some ways, but defensively he was really, really bad in this game. Not that he is always great defensively, but it was pretty noticeable against some of the lineups that the Nuggets were playing that he was kind of unplayable defensively. And as a shooter, he was 0 of 7 from 3. That's not all bad, but there are a couple of bad shots in there, just a couple of also wide open misses, which is going to happen sometimes. But he was 4 for 15 from the floor. So you see the raw numbers, you know, 10, 10, 3, and 3 with a block shot. That looks pretty solid, but he was inefficient and was really bad defensively. So I would not go as far as to say that the box score numbers matched what he was able to do in this game. And finally, Trae Young, 6 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal for Trae. Had 5 turnovers as well in 27 minutes. He was bad, especially in the second half. He kind of got out of control a little bit. I don't really blame him in the first half, honestly. And, you know, the shooting was inefficient and not good. 2 of 11 from the floor and 0 of 4 from 3. You know, the 0 of 4, 2 of the shots were really bad, even by his standards, shots that he probably shouldn't be taking. You know, contested-ish 28-footers are not going to be the greatest shots in the world early in the shot clock. You know, I don't think he was as bad as the numbers indicate, but in the second half, he kind of got a little bit loose with the ball, and you can't have that there when you're trying to make at least a tangential comeback. You know, I will say, and this is something I will credit to Tyler Jones for saying before I even said it today on Twitter, in the first half, it was very, very clear Denver was kind of just going to take away Young and make everybody else beat you, and that's not a new thing. Both the Warriors and the Lakers did that at times in their games. Young is capable of beating that sometimes, but at the same time, he's still a rookie, and if you're going to trap him and kind of make him the focal point of the offense, it can be rough, and he has to play great to beat that. He didn't play great in this game, and the Hawks don't really have anybody right now that's playing well enough as a secondary creator to kind of take the pressure off of him. You know, having Torian Prince helps, but without Prince in the game, not that I think Prince is the greatest creator in the world, but at least he's a threat as a shooter. Denver didn't really respect much of anything aside from Trae Young offensively, and that kind of puts him in a bad spot. So he didn't play well, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that necessarily he was awful until the second half. First half, I thought he was, you know, his shooting was bad, but he had some nice passes, etc. It wasn't a good night for Trae, but he'll have better nights in the future. To the bench, Vince Carter had some nice moments. 11 points, 4 of 6 on the floor, 3 of 5 from 3. You know, Vince is going to be kind of the guy where he makes shots. He looks like he can be effective, and when he doesn't, he doesn't. He was wearing sort of a right shoulder brace kind of thing, which was interesting to see. But, you know, Vince made 3 threes, and that's kind of what he's out there for offensively, and kind of did his job for the most part, even if he wasn't great defensively. Alex Poitras made all 5 of his 2-point attempts. He was 0-3 from 3, but actually provided some of the best minutes that I saw in this game. 11 points and four assists and four rebounds for Poitras. He, you know, good energy out of him. He was one of the few guys that played hard from wire to wire in this game. Miles Plumlee, you know, not a great matchup for him either against Jokic and Millsap and those guys, and also his brother and Mason Plumlee. But 3 points and three rebounds for Miles in limited time. Didn't do anything great or bad, just was kind of out there as he is. Daniel Hamilton did not score in his first 8 minutes of the season. 1 point, actually, no, sorry, 1 point. Did not have a field goal. I should say. Didn't do a whole lot. Was just out there, though. I was actually a little bit, maybe not worried is the wrong word, but it was interesting to me that he didn't play until the 8 minute mark. The game was definitely over by the end of the third quarter. It was into the 30s. I was surprised that he did not appear before that because he was active in this game with all the injuries the Hawks have. But it's very, very clear that he's the low man of the totem pole right now, which is not a surprise, obviously, but he probably should be. But just something to keep in mind for the future if there's injuries and stuff. Daniel Hamilton does not look to be a part of the rotation anytime soon in Atlanta. Tyler Dorsey, 19 minutes of play. He played a lot in this game. He actually played in the first quarter, which was probably the thing I expected to see. I will say there was one time, the last time Prince missed a game, I believe it was in Charlotte, where Dorsey did not play, even though they only had three wings available. They basically got through the entire game with only three wings. And this game, they went to Dorsey early and often, 19 minutes. He did play basically all of garbage time at the end, but he did play in the competitive portion. Didn't do anything particularly great, but did rebound the ball well, as he always seems to do. That's probably his best trait, aside from his shooting, is his rebounding. He's a good competitive rebounder there. But they had six rebounds and 3 points to go along with an assist and a steal and 19 minutes of play. Didn't make any threes. He was 0-2 from there, 1-5 from the floor, but I thought he at least played hard for the most part. Two, I guess, tangential bright spots. Kevin Huerter, 10 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, and a steal off the bench in 28 minutes. He was 4-10 from the floor, 2-6 from 3. One of those threes was actually a beautiful one where he caught it, confidently rose up and fired with a guy closing out on him hard. He definitely shot the ball with confidence there. Looks really fluid. That's sort of a preview of what can be to come with Kevin Huerter. I didn't think he played great, but there were a couple of nice moments at least from Huerter. Also, you know, finally, Jeremy Lin was the leading scorer for the Hawks with 16 points. He actually has his 5,000th career point, so shouts to Jeremy Lin for that. I believe that was point number 7 of the game was one that got him to 5,000 in his career. Lin also had 5 rebounds and 5 assists. Did have 4 turnovers. It was 4-10 from the floor, 3-7 from 3, and 5-7 from the line. He did a lot of creation things offensively. You know, he's minus 27, which was, you know, not great. He was on the floor for a lot of that stuff in the second half, but was not really his fault. I thought Lin played pretty well in this game. He was one of the only guys who did. I would say that, you know, Lin, Bazemore, Poitras, and maybe Huerter were guys who, and maybe Carter. Those are kind of the guys who played, you know, average or better by their standards. Everybody else was kind of below average, honestly. So that's kind of the recipe to lose by 45 points, and that's kind of where we are at this point in the night. I'm sure I'm rambling a little bit on this podcast. It's very late, and this is not a fun game to watch. You find yourself shutting down a little bit in the fourth quarter, but hopefully you'll bear with me a little bit on that. I'm also battling some illness. I'm sure I don't sound great and don't you know, my breathing's been kind of bad, all that fun stuff. So I'm just kind of trying to fight through it here. We all have a day off on Friday. Well, I don't really have a day off. I actually have to work and all that stuff. But no Hawks game on Friday. The Hawks are back in action on Saturday night in Indiana with another tough matchup. The Pacers are better than the Hawks, and this is a road trip. The Hawks have now lost, I believe, 6 in a row. They will go to Indiana with a chance to lose 7 in a row. If they lose that one, they'll be 3-13, and that's rough considering where the schedule has been. I know the schedule has been harder on this trip, and obviously all 4 games on this trip, the Hawks have been huge underdogs, double digits, which is, you know, within, honestly, for good reason, because the teams they're playing against are much better. But Indiana's not overwhelming in their talent advantage. They do have more talent than the Hawks do, but, you know, on the road, final game of a trip, it's kind of a rough spot for Atlanta. We'll see how they respond. I mean, I think Lloyd Pierce was clearly not very happy with the way things went tonight. That goes without saying with a 45-point margin, but I think he was just disappointed in the effort. So at least I think we'll see a little bit of renewed vigor from the Hawks, especially in the first half of the game on Saturday. I'm not sure it's going to be enough to get a win, but something to keep in mind there. There's also at least a chance at the time of this recording that we see John Collins, considering he was upgraded doubtful early in the game. Before the game on Thursday. So that's at least a possibility. Deadman is a possibility. Prince, I'm not really sure what that is there, but hopefully the Hawks will have some more guys that can play as well. That could be helpful against Indiana, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. As we always do, we'll come back with a podcast after that game. I will, it'll probably be a little bit late because I'm not going to be watching that game live. I have some family stuff to attend to on Saturday, but I will be watching at some point between now and the end of the night on Saturday. So we'll have a podcast for you guys by the end of the weekend to talk about that game and whatever else transpires. So please stay tuned for that. Please subscribe to the podcast, do all that fun stuff, and we'll see you guys later on in the weekend.